CrossFit is an intense interval training workout that promotes all-around fitness. But is it the right workout for you? We'll discuss the ins and outs and pros and cons of CrossFit, plus your email, comments, and more on episode number 55 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to show number 55. What's going on with you this week, Jeff?
Well, I'm just doing excellent right now. The seasons are finally starting to change just a little bit. I saw a little bit of sun this morning on my way to work, and I saw the sun on the way home, so that really improves my mood. But how is your weight loss going this week, Russ?
Well, this week I am weighing in at 246 pounds. That's down just a little over 1 pound from the last show.
That's awesome, because now we're into the fourth week of January and you've lost 4 pounds in 4 weeks. You're well on your way to losing 50 pounds this year. So how is your eating this week?
Eating just as last week, 10 out of 10, doing real well.
How about your exercise?
Exercise, still haven't got my elliptical machine going, but 5 out of 10 for this week.
Okay, and how about your motivation?
Motivation, you know, we got a lot of great emails this week, really, really kept me motivated. And so I'd say 10 out of 10 for this week.
Now, you said something earlier right before we started the show that you were really happy about a blue suit. So what are you talking about?
Oh, you know, if you were listening to the Fat Guy Radio show, or I mentioned this before on here on Fat to Fit Radio, I work at an engineering company, and I have to wear this fire-retardant Nomex blue suit. It's kind of a jumpsuit. And Ken May in the past has felt kind of stuffed sausage-like. I'd have to, like, shimmy myself in, and really zipping it was a real big chore. But I put it on for the first time in about 4 or 5 months, haven't had to use it, and man, it was roomy. It was nothing like a stuffed sausage. It was Billy. I could have looked like I was gonna jump out of a plane, you know. It was that kind of big, you know. So I was real happy about that this week.
Well, that sounds really good. That's we're looking forward to hearing stuff like this. Hopefully every week you can have some sort of great success like that. But let's move on to our email and comment section. And for our first feedback, we received a number of emails about our artificial sweetener show 2 shows ago. And here are the things that we learned from our listeners.
Allison wrote in and said, Stevia, or more specifically, sweeteners made with stevia, was recently approved by the FDA in December of 2008. Coca-Cola is developing a new diet lemon-lime soda that uses Truvia, one of the new stevia-based sweeteners. And Pepsi will launch 3 new flavors of Sobe and a new orange drink using Purvia, another new stevia-based sweetener. And also, Julia informed us about this and added,
be warned that stevia can taste bitter to some and can have a distinct black licorice flavor, depending on the brand. I don't taste that when I put stevia in my coffee. I also sweeten plain yogurt with stevia and a splash of vanilla extract, and it's really good. Julia also mentioned Truvia as well, and says that she has used this sweetener straight on berries, and it's terrific, and she's also made a sugar-free cheesecake with it, and it baked beautifully.
Yeah, so we were a little off in the timing there. I hadn't seen that most recent news that stevia had been now approved as a sweetener. So that's some good news.
But it's great that we've got lots of listeners who will keep us in the loop.
Yep, more eyes on the news just helps a lot. But let's get into our second item here, and it's an email from Robert in Ohio.
This email seems to ask a fairly simple question, but when I read it carefully, I found that there were so many other issues involved. I've gone through a lot of these same issues several times in my life, so it really struck a chord with me. So here it is.
And he wrote, Dear Jeff and Russ, thank you for having a great podcast. I listen to your shows every week. I have a question about maintaining a daily exercise routine, specifically what not to do if you can't make your commitment for a day.
I think I royally screwed up yesterday. Here's what happened. Normally, I devote 1 to 1.5 hours in the late morning for my daily exercises. I find that I work out best between the hours of 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. I do strength training 5 times a week, roughly 30 minutes, and then I do cardio, intervals on 2 days medium, cardio 3 days a week.
With the cardio, I usually mix it up between the treadmill, elliptical, stair climber, and an exercise bike at my local gym. I usually don't do more than 10 to 20 minutes on each item, and I don't use all of them on 1 day, maybe 3 max. Yesterday, I took a trip to a farmer's market located in Solon, Ohio. It's about an hour from here where I live. Instead of working out in the morning, I decided to work out in the evening. That's when the trouble started.
I was following my normal diet fine till I got home. My mom decided to bake a banana nut cake with pecan frosting. I decided since I was good all week, I was going to make this a cheat day. I ate one slice, which ended up being several. Then I had some multigrain crackers with peanut butter and cheese, three granola bars, two Breyers double churn ice cream bars, and a cookie.
I then went to the gym around 8 p.m. Something kept telling me not to do my normal routine, so I didn't. However, I figured since I just pigged out with the extra sugar, I should devote extra time to the cardio. So I spent 40 minutes on the elliptical and 40 minutes on the treadmill. I did a primarily light workout, or so I thought.
By 10 p.m., I felt nauseated and exhausted. I couldn't even drink any water. When I got home, I couldn't even walk. Now in the morning, I can still barely walk because of blisters, and I don't think I'm capable of doing my strength training for the day. This means I've completely screwed up one day of exercise, I've probably gained weight because of the indulgence, and I feel miserable.
I was told that your body doesn't like inconsistency. Should I have just skipped and not even bothered working out? I've spent the last year losing over 174 pounds, and I'm still under my goal weight of less than 200. However, I'm waffling back and forth in the 190s. Any additional advice would be appreciated. Thanks, Robert. And along with Robert's email, he also sent us information on what he was eating and his workout routine.
Well, first of all, losing 174 pounds in a year, that is almost 3.5 pounds a week on average for an entire year. If you look at the calories, 3,500 calories per pound, that's 609,000 negative calories expended. To put that into perspective, if you lost your weight equally from diet and exercise, you would have had to have eaten 850 calories less per day and exercised an extra 850 calories more per day than what you were doing. So in reality, you probably worked out even harder than that because you probably had several weight loss plateaus along the way.
But you probably lost some muscle along the way too because of the speed that you lost the weight. But thankfully, you were doing resistance training along the way, so that would have helped preserve muscle along the way while you were losing the weight.
We are kind of reading between the lines of your entire question, and we have a couple concerns that we're going to list here. But don't worry, you can always survive these concerns. Number one, you were following a program that might have been a little bit too strict. Now, don't get us wrong. You were very successful, but you didn't do a lifestyle change. The very nature of losing weight very fast caused you to do something for an entire year that nobody actually lives that way for real in the real world. It's something that was incredibly hard, and it would have taken a ton of willpower and lots of powerful goals to accomplish. I mean, you did an awesome thing, but now you don't really know what to do when it should end. It's like the person who trains for years and years to climb Mount Everest, and then once they accomplish it, they're kind of lost. They don't know where to go from here. And I think that's where you are right now.
Right. Secondly, you've probably denied yourself these foods that you love, and now you're going to crave them more. Now, there's nothing wrong with a cheat day, but make that cheat day reasonable at 500 to 750 calories, maybe over your daily goals. But going overboard on that cheat day, as you've now experienced, can be very uncomfortable. When you were eating in your old way, your body was used to all these fat-laden foods that you ate on this binge, but now it's accustomed to reasonable meal sizes made up of good foods.
And another thing, it seems that you really can't get off this diet that you've started. Once you hit your goal, you almost seem that you're in a panic to keep it right where you are. You said that your weight is still waffling a little bit, so that means that you're doing well on the diet and exercise routine that you were on, but the only other way that you know how to eat is as a non-dieter, and you're going to start eating again as that 370-pound-plus guy. You truly have to figure out how to eat and exercise as the person who is naturally 200 pounds, not the guy who's lost a ton of weight and is now starting to yo-yo. And this is exactly how yo-yo dieters start. They waffle a little bit at the start, and then those waffles become bigger and bigger. They get tired of the strict routine, and they give up and binge a little bit more, and then they diet again, and the cycle starts again.
Yeah, you mentioned you followed Weight Watchers and counted points and followed the menus throughout your weight loss. But you need to get away from that now and not learn how to follow a program. Learn how to do it on your own. And as I've mentioned before, these easy-to-follow programs don't make you do the hard work of counting calories and truly understanding why you've lost the weight that you did.
Another concern I have is simply with your attitude about food and exercise at this point. And long-term dieting changes everyone's attitude to what your attitude is right now. You've worked so hard that perhaps it has become a total preoccupation. When I was reading between the lines of your email, I saw that you think that food is bad and exercise is good, and things were getting very black and white. The guilt that you felt for eating too much that day when you binge, cause you to have an obsessive reaction to try and balance those calories out for the day by exercising. There's probably no way you could balance the calories because you ate a lot of high-calorie stuff. Remember, you said you physically exercised so much that you even got blisters and were just totally exhausted. I'm sure that you never thought at the beginning of your diet, when you were so determined to eat perfectly and follow this really hard workout routine, that you ever thought that you'd have to be this concerned and worried about this for the rest of your life. I'm sure that you thought you could lose all the weight and then enjoy your life, which is not really what you seem to be doing right now. You're caught up in this strict diet. And I really understand where you're coming from. Myself, about, you know, almost 20 years ago, I remember doing a marathon workout day where I did 5 hours of working out over 2 workouts throughout the day, and I burned 2,600 calories. And, you know, 3-4 days later, it never really affected my weight, but I just wanted to get these workouts in. So I really understand how you can get caught up in this.
Yeah, another thing is you don't seem to have any way to deal with the obstacles and things that life's going to throw at you. You seem to be either dieting very hard or totally off the wagon. Eventually, you'll find out that living a lifestyle is easier than dieting because eventually you'll have to stop dieting and start living. If all you've ever known is dieting and then binging, what are you likely to do when you stop dieting?
Now, you probably weren't expecting us to pick apart your email like this, but there's a lot to here. So I'm going to give you a whole bunch of suggestions that I think will help you out. So first of all, if you lost your weight slowly with eating a little less and exercising a little bit more, there wouldn't be this huge difference between your diet and this maintenance that you're on right now. To be honest, you are at a very high risk of gaining all of your weight back in the next few years. And the reason is because the faster you lose it, the harder it is to keep on, the faster people gain it back. So the first thing, I would get off Weight Watchers and then learn as much about nutrition as you can on your own. Read books, learn on the internet, listen to our show, etc. Learn how to make the menus that you will enjoy eating that are healthy, what you truly enjoy. Don't make a distinction between being on a diet and living this thinner, healthier lifestyle now that you've lost this weight. Figure out how many calories you need to eat to maintain your current goal weight at a reasonable level of exercise. You don't need to kill yourself in the gym all the time for the rest of your life. You've done that hard work. You've lost a lot of fat. Choose a level that you're comfortable with and then adjust your calorie intake accordingly. Another thing, your metabolism might be a lot slower than what you expect it to be right now because of the length of your dieting. So this is what I would suggest. Start at a couple hundred calories above what you were dieting when you were losing weight and then gradually increase maybe 100 to 150 calories per week until you find the level where your weight stabilizes. And that will be the current level that you have to maintain eating to maintain your weight. The real key as to whether you can keep it off is to find the level you should be eating and exercising and turn this into your lifestyle from now on. That is how you have to live as this thinner, healthier person. So good luck. You worked very hard to get here. It should not take anywhere near the same effort that you already went through to stay where you're at. You just have to be regular, consistent, and you don't have to starve yourself. You don't have to pig out. You don't have to exercise super hard, and you'll be fine. So good luck.
All right. I want to thank Allison, Julia, and specifically Robert for their great emails and comments. If you'd like to leave us a comment, there are a few ways you can do that. And the first way is to leave a comment over on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fat2fitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fat2fitsupport.com.
Now is a time where we talk about some news items we've found on the internet. It's the Web Report. And Jeff, what do you have for us this week?
I have a really short thing this week, and it's actually a picture of a magazine article, and it looks like it's probably from about the 60s, judging by the makeup of this woman. There's a woman licking an ice cream cone, and the big headline is, "Sugar can be the willpower you need to undereat." So this is a diet advertisement trying to get you to eat more sugar. And it says, "Enjoy an ice cream cone shortly before lunch. When you're hungry, it usually means your energy's down. By eating something with sugar in it, you can get your energy up fast. In fact, sugar is the fastest energy food around. And when your energy's up, there's a good chance you'll have the willpower to undereat at mealtime and lose weight." How's that for a sweet idea? Sugar, only 18 calories per teaspoon, and it's all energy. Isn't that just the craziest advertisement?
Well, you know, it's funny that sugar has crept into our diets and in the form of, well, first sugar itself and now high fructose corn syrup and such. And man, it's I didn't realize how bad it was way back when, even before I was around.
Well, this is like a public service announcement from the sugar producers to try and get you to eat a little more. So maybe this is right when sugar was starting to fall out of favor and the artificial sweeteners were coming in. Who knows? But what do you have for us this week, Russ?
Yeah, my news item this week is from the Examiner, examiner.com, and it's three things I bet you didn't know about weight loss. And this is a quick little article here. First one, there is no such thing as a fat-burning food. It does not exist. It is a myth. Fat burning occurs in deficit of calories. And it's very refreshing to hear that, even from any kind of magazine, whether it be it online or in print. There is no such thing as a fat-burning food. Number two, you don't work out as hard as you think you do. Recently, a poll was conducted, and people were asked after 45 minutes of vigorous training how many calories they burned. They burned in that time about 200 to 350 calories, depending on who they were and their size. And at least one of them guessed they burned 1,000 calories in 45 minutes. So you can see people, you know, look that stuff up and make sure you're burning the amount of calories that you think you are. And the last one here, one bad day can erase six previous ones. And this has to do with that that cheat day. You can easily, when dieting, down erase your deficit in one day. Do you want to keep putting yourself through the same frustrations again and again for the one Saturday night? And I, for one, I've abandoned the cheat day. If I do have a cheat meal, that's what it would be, a meal, not a whole day, because that's just putting me back where I don't want to be. And reminding my body that, hey, this is the way things used to be. You know what? The other thing is, coupled with people are eating more calories than they think they are, and they're burning less calories than they think they are. You know, those two coupled together are a bad combination. So check out what you're eating and how many calories you're burning.
Well, it's that time to move on to the feature section of the show. And this week we are talking about the new fitness craze that's coming to North America called CrossFit. And CrossFit was introduced to me by a friend this summer while we were on a golfing trip. And the first night while we were staying at a hotel, he said he needed to do his burpees before we played some poker. And this is how he really got me into this 100 burpee challenge that I've talked about on earlier shows. We all sat back and watched him do his 60 or so burpees that he was supposed to do for the day. And we all tried to do a couple burpees with him, and they were super hard. He didn't seem to have any problem whipping through them. So that really got me interested in finding out what he was actually doing. Personally, over the last couple of months, I've done a lot of reading on CrossFit. I've been really interested and learned a lot about it and taken a lot of ideas from their philosophy and workouts and put them into my own workouts. When anyone sees someone who's made some drastic improvements in their health, everyone wants to find out, what have you been doing, what have you been eating, etc. And so that's really what got me interested into CrossFit. So first of all, I guess everyone wants to know, what is CrossFit?
CrossFit is a program of interval training where you do incredibly hard, intense workouts. The CrossFit website was launched in 2001, and they boast over 650 CrossFit gyms. The gyms are not usually like a typical gym that you are used to seeing. They don't have any fancy weight machines that isolate certain muscles. They are all about Olympic barbells, kettlebells, medicine balls, and chin-up bars. A workout could range from 15 to 45 minutes per session. Very quick, but very exhausting. It is most likely three different exercises that you do in a circuit. You may do them to see how many reps you can possibly do, or just see how fast you can do the entire workout.
And this is right from the CrossFit website. And they say, CrossFit is the principal strength and conditioning program for many police academies and tactical operations teams, military special operations units, champion martial artists, and hundreds of other elite and professional athletes worldwide. So this is truly a training regime for overall strength, agility, and all-around fitness.
There seems to be hundreds of different workouts that they do, but it always varies what they are doing. It's more like a daily challenge of what you will be doing. The main principle behind this is that you never have time to adapt to the training. When you start to adapt to the training, you don't get the same level of workout response or adaptation. It's similar to runners who always run the exact same distance and the exact same speed day after day. Once their bodies have become adapted to it, it's easier and easier, and they don't get as much benefit out of it as they did when they were starting.
The goal of CrossFit is really what is known as muscle confusion, where your body is never allowed to fully adapt, so you get the most benefit out of every workout. A big thing about CrossFit is that everyone does the same workouts and publishes their results publicly. So you would list how many reps of an exercise that you did or how fast you got through the workout. There's a main website at CrossFit.com that will tell you what the day's workout is, and you can do it on your own or at a CrossFit gym and then post your workout results there.
Many CrossFit gyms have their own websites that you can post your results and comments about the workouts there. You will do some of the workouts eventually, again, and you'll be able to look back to see how you did earlier so you can see your progress.
The people that I know who do CrossFit in Edmonton, Alberta, have a really good gym with a lot of participation. They have their own website, and every workout that they do is posted in a blog format, and then after the workout, everyone posts the results in the comments after each post. I was reading through the comments, and they're not only given their results, but there's also a lot of back and forth as well about recipes and diet advice, etc. It's really quite a good community that promotes camaraderie with all of the people there. People help each other out and cheer them on. So for example, one workout may be to start with 50 squats, then do 20 burpees, and then 20 chin-ups, and you have to do that 3 times in a row as fast as you can. Everyone starts at the same time, and the first people through cheer on the rest as they're finishing the workouts. There's no way that most people could ever hit this level of intensity on their own when you're hitting total exhaustion without this crowd of people just cheering you on right in front of you.
So CrossFit is quite simply a sport, the sport of fitness, and there are actually CrossFit games where people compete doing these workouts. If you go to the CrossFit.com website and take a look at the videos there, you will truly see people who are in top shape, not just thin, but also all those other parts of fitness that people don't really think about. Cardiovascular, respiratory endurance, stamina, strength, flexibility, power, coordination, agility, balance. It's amazing.
I found a summary of fitness from the CrossFit website, and they summarize their whole philosophy of training in 100 words. So here it is. Eat meat and vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. Keep intake levels that will support exercise, but not body fat.
Practice and train major lifts: deadlift, clean, squat, presses, clean and jerk, and snatch. Similarly, master the basics of gymnastics, pull-ups, dips, rope climb, push-ups, sit-ups, presses to handstand, pirouettes, flips, splits, and holds, bike, run, swim, row, etc., hard and fast.
5 or 6 days per week, mix these elements in as many combinations and patterns as creativity will allow. Routine is the enemy. Keep workouts short and intense.
Regularly learn and play new sports.
So that's quite the summary to their philosophy there. We will leave some links in the show notes that will take you to the CrossFit site and some of the most impressive videos of people doing CrossFit workouts. The first one that I'm going to leave here is 3 women doing squats and then a full body weight pull-ups and then Olympic barbell cleans, and it is quite simply amazing. I watched this video and I could not keep up with them, nowhere near. It is truly impressive. So I guess the big question is, does this work for weight loss, and can the average person do it?
Yeah, so what this workout is not for the very overweight. If you're extremely overweight, you're not going to be doing chin-ups. Burpees are going to be very hard. Doing your gymnastics, things like a rope climb, that's not happening. Splits, only if something breaks. But, you know, there are some things you could take with you, you know, some sit-ups, and but you're not going to be flipping or doing some of these really, really, really hard maneuvers.
That's right. It's really not for someone with a low level of fitness. It's simply unrealistic for someone to just jump into this. It is truly 100% effort of every workout. The risk of injury for untrained muscles unaccustomed to these demands, it's just super, super high. A person really needs to be doing some progressive resistance training to build up to this so you'd be able to handle these workouts.
Yeah, this would be a good workout choice for someone who already has a basic level of fitness and you're looking at losing that last 20 pounds of fat and maybe putting on some good lean muscle.
Now, CrossFit itself actually recommends that people follow the zone diet. So that's what they recommend that people eat, because they want people to eat enough to allow them to lose fat but still work out at an intense level. They're not on low-calorie diets. The zone diet, in my opinion, is one of the better plans out there. I have 2 different books on the zone myself, and I've used them for some recipe ideas, so I am familiar with it. At least with CrossFit, they understand that working out will not just give you a great body, and food is just as important. So it's good that they're recommending a pretty decent diet program for people to follow.
Now, this is going to be a great type of workout for people who are very motivated by being in a group of other people. The camaraderie of a good group can really push people to do some incredible things in their workouts. If a person has a very competitive attitude naturally, they're really going to excel at CrossFit.
And one final point. You really need to look into any particular gym very carefully. Most that I have looked into sell you minimum one-year packages, and they are quite expensive. At the one here in Calgary, two drop-in visits is the same price as a full month at my regular gym if I didn't buy an entire year package. I'm not sure if I'm going to ever join a CrossFit gym, but I'm definitely going to try and use some of their training in my own workouts. If you're interested in CrossFit and you're not quite there, this is kind of where do you go once you get the weight off or you're close to reaching your goal and you've been doing some resistance training and you want to truly become in this awesome shape. This is where you might consider to go to. So take a look at their website. Take a look at some of the videos that we will link. You will see people who are just in amazing shape. They're not just athletes who are fast runners or strong swimmers. These are total all-around athletes.
And definitely take a look at the videos. You're going to be extremely impressed. I know when Jeff sent me the link, I was duly impressed. That is the pinnacle of fitness that the one particular with these three women, they were doing this workout. And I thought, you know, that's where you want to be and get to that level. So definitely take a look at those videos if you want to be motivated.
Let's move back to talking about food and move on to the recipe of the week.
Yes, the recipe this week. You know, we've had quite a few emails and some comments on the website this week about that oatmeal breakfast cookie recipe that we received back in, it was about April of 2008. And so this week, I'm going to create a little PDF document. It's going to be linked to over on the show notes here for show number 55 for these very good for you oatmeal breakfast cookies. They're about 350 calories a piece, and they'd be a good choice if you just want to have this for breakfast with a piece of fruit. It would be a great choice for a breakfast or a lunch. We'll have a link in the show notes to these oatmeal breakfast cookies.
And they are actually really healthy. There are some Quaker oatmeal to-go bars that I was looking at the other day, and they're just full of crap, just like the, you know, processed foods, etc. And they take all the goodness out of it. But if you make these oatmeal cookies yourself at home, you've got all the goodness, and it's like having a bowl of oatmeal.
Yeah, and just like your oatmeal and egg thing, stick it in the freezer and pull it out in the morning when you're ready to go, and eat it in the car, even if you need to on the way to work. So very handy as well. But Jeff, let's get serious now. What is our homework for the fine folks at home this week?
This week's homework isn't just for this week. Hopefully, you can incorporate this into the rest of your life from now on. It's called the 2-3 rule, and it's a rule of thumb regarding taking the stairs or using an elevator. It's very simple. You always walk up two flights or walk down three flights of stairs instead of taking an elevator. Really simple, the 2-3 rule. These are the little things that people who truly live a healthy lifestyle can do.
Very cool. 2-3 rule. I like that. And what is our quote for the week?
This week's quote comes from General George S. Patton. And he wrote, "Don't measure a man's success by how high he climbs, but by how high he bounces when he hits bottom."
All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. Check out the show notes, including the recipe, link to that CrossFit video, and all the other links we mentioned on this week's show. They're over at fat2fitradio.com. Again, that's show number 55. Thank you all for listening and for downloading. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.